Hello.
Hi.
And welcome again. We are in another The School of Light educational courses for you. Yes, yes, all of you that are out there. For we're in the garden. Yes, we're always in the garden. When Pastor Deborah teaches, we're in the realm of the spirit. The realm for your spirit, that eternal part of you. Yes, that one that lives on, the one that's here. Yes, yes. And I see everybody is here. Yes, my ushers are telling me. Who are my ushers? Well, they're the creatures. It could be a plant waving at me, or one of those trees next to you, signaling to me from his limbs and leaves that everybody is seated. Could be one of those wonderful little animals. Or one of the big ones. Yeah, we have them here too. Yeah, they're all friendly. They are filled with the very presence of the Lord that created them. They are the original creations that all of the earthly creations are made from. What? You mean all the ones that you see in the earth, they're a copy of? Yes, yes, that's right. And these don't die, do they? No, sweetie, they don't. They are living, eternal creatures. They have no sin in them, no death in them. They are filled with light and love for you and for the Creator. Those that we see in the natural, they are their sort of replicas, Xerox copies, so to speak. Oh, you don't know what a Xerox copy? A Xerox copy is not the original. It's something that was made from the original. Yes, and the ones in the earth, they do die. Yes, because they have death in them. Yes, that's right. But here in the garden, in the realm of the spirit where we are and where you are, all these plants and animals and the insects and the creatures, they are living. There's no death in them. And they've been waiting to meet you and help you and serve you on behalf of their Creator. Yes. And they all, if you'll look around, if you notice, they are all bowing their heads. They are curtsying to you because they recognize you, oh little spiritual one, as their king, their ruler, under God, and that you are one of the sons, the children of the living God. And they were created to help you, serve you, and you were to be a shepherd and a kind king over them and to help them in all that they were to do. So that is why when you look around, the flowers, they are bowing to you. The trees are bowing. All the little animals are bowing. Because you are the rightful king, the very offspring, image and likeness of their Creator and yours, God the Most High. Yeah. You didn't know all that? Well, that is right out of the Word of God itself. Yeah. That was the relationship you were to have with them. And we were to have that in the natural. But that got all mixed up. Messed up. And death came in. And that's a whole nother story than what we're going to talk about today. Today we're going to pick up in lesson number 9. I'm working through the section called The Kingdom of Agape Love, Volume 1. Here in the School of Light. Here in this video, introducing you to, in video form, the Kingdom of Agape Love, Volume 1 that we're in now. And we're working through the sections that are on the website. Yeah, they're on Agape Love, Love is Here website. Yeah, Pastor Deborah wrote these and put them up. She is now, that's me, putting them to video form to be up here on YouTube for you to listen and watch. We are in that section when you go to the front website called The Kingdom of Agape Love. You click on Volume 1, and you will be in the section we're working through. We are on the sidebar section called Prayer and Fasting, The Lord's Way. We are working through the scriptures that Pastor Deborah had to have in her life that were foundational to her to begin to do the Lord's work, the Lord's way, instead of the ways of mental health counseling, the way of the world. That was my training and education. I was starting all over. I had to go to kindergarten, elementary school, middle and junior high school, and high school. Then I had to be put in the College of the Kingdom of Heaven, graduate with honors, and keep on going. Because I couldn't help people like my heart wanted to, and like the way that God the Most High, our Creator, wanted me to, without having to go to school, have a lot of learning, tests and trials, pass and yes, fail a lot of them, and then come to the conclusion the old me, Jan, that knew all the ways of the world, had to die. Yeah, within me, within my spirit, soul, and physical body, she had to die. And a new creature with the mind of Christ, living in the realm of the Spirit, totally forgiven all that Jan had done, that believed in, everything was gone. And this new me, this creature now called Deborah, who had and was developing the powerful mind of Christ, the anointed king, the Messiah of the kingdom of heaven, the son, that means offspring, the heir to inherit the kingdom of heaven, when I was at full maturity, was coming to life. It had been born and come out. Now, those are in different stories, but right now we are in the section called Prayer and Fasting of the School of Light. And we are working through, in this little side section, some of the basic scriptures, as I said, that must become foundational even in your life. You must have a deep understanding of them in order to help people the Lord's way. And we're beginning, as I said, lesson number 9 in that section. Yeah, we have been, takes a long time to work through Pastor Deborah's personal stories of learning and growing, passing tests, failing tests, having aha moments, understanding what I was to be doing, who I was to be doing it to, because I had no clue when I got started. None. And I'm going to add, I think, some of those videos that I made in another one called Setting the Captives Free to this one. So you will see my ignorance. And you will understand you too will have to come to the conclusion that you don't know anything. Yeah. Pastor Deborah, who had an earthly graduate degree, a master's they call it, plus many other years of continuing education, certifications, didn't know anything. I didn't know how to help people the Lord's way. I didn't know that I too needed help the Lord's way. Yeah. And I had to do some fasting off of some things. Yeah. Boy, and we learned about that in the last scripture verse we were talking about. Remember, we were in Isaiah 58, 1 through 14. And we had just finished, I believe, verse number 6. And we had learned a powerful lesson. But before we get back there and we begin in this lesson of the School of Light, Prayer and Fasting, Volume 1, Let's begin with a little prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your words, a spirit and of light. We thank you that your heart held through the thousands of generations while we were in the darkness, and that your heart is still working, desiring, and still calling us into your presence, into the very image and likeness of you, a king. And you still desire for us to be rulers and shepherds here on this earth as we can be, and then on the new earth to come. We thank you that you have never wavered. Oh, we know that you've gotten irritated with us, had to turn your face away from us for a while, but you're back. And you are always working and working, calling and calling and drawing us to you, so that you, through your Holy Spirit and your words of spirit and life, can help us to become all that you desire for us to become, and to inherit the wonderful kingdom of heaven here and now. We thank you for you being a shepherd to us, a father and a mother, being our image and our likeness, and giving us our big brother, Jesus Christ, so that we may learn from him how to be in this relationship, spirit to spirit, mind to mind, heart to heart with you, as you and him were when he was on the earth, and how you and him are now. Help us through the Holy Word to see what we have not yet seen, to hear what we do not hear, to understand these new but yet ancient concepts and ideas of the kingdom of heaven, and that we are kings of it, and to learn how to be kings in it and through it and with it. We thank you, Father, for all the help you can give us through your powerful and wonderful Holy Spirit, our teacher. We thank you. In the name of Jesus, amen. All right, now let's get ready. We are in the School of Light, the educational series. This one is called Prayer and Fasting. We're working through the stories. We are in the section entitled Helping People the Lord's Way, How to Fast and Pray the Lord's Way. We're starting class or lesson number 9. And we had left off in Isaiah 58, 1 through 14. We had finished last lesson in verse number 6, where God had told the Israelites that they were not fasting the way he desired them to fast. They were not fasting off of what they needed to be fasted off of. And I believe I told you my pew story. Yeah, about getting fasted off of a church pew. And little did Pastor know how in bondage I had become to the pew, how it had become a yoke of wickedness upon me. And I didn't want to move. I would be angry. I was not pliable in the hands of the Father. He couldn't turn me this way or turn me that way, because I would say, I have to be there in church. I have to sit on that pew. And I told you my story. It was pretty powerful. And I had to learn that there are not only people, but things, places, and many other things that we must have prayer to sever us from, be fasted off of, take off those yokes, those connections, those soul ties. Yes, and many of you and most of you have soul ties. What is that? A soul tie is where your soul, that's your subconscious, and its feelings and desires and its fears are connected, tied, yoked to something or someone else. You ask, like, what? How about your ancestors? And you still have to do what they did. How about your faith that says you must dress this way, do this, pray this many times, pray this way? How about that you must be in this place in society? You're yoked to the place you were born in, your earthly family, or to the family you were born in, or the village. Yeah, and you can't think and believe that you could be something else, go somewhere else, have a different life. You are yoked to what you have. You can be yoked to the past, to hopelessness, depression. How about any kind of thing you're addicted to, in bondage to? You can also be yoked to beliefs and concepts and ideas that came from the family or your experiences, as well as spiritual. Yeah, you can be yoked to spiritual things, spiritual people. Yeah. And they become, wherever they go, you got to go. Whatever they believe, you have to believe. Wherever they take you, you have to go. Whatever they ask of you, you have to do. Some people are yoked to political parties. My father and my great-grandfather, and we've always been that of that party. Some are yoked to ideas. Some are married to other kinds of governments. Some are married, as we know, in the natural. But they're still yoked to culture. And they're yoked to beliefs that hurt people. Yeah, so you can be yoked and be oppressed by thoughts and ideas. That's what Pastor Deborah learned. Pews, buildings, your place where you sit in church or where you sit in the hut, all kinds of things. And so what happens is, God is trying to tell us in verse 6, that is what you must fast off of. Loose yourself from those wickedness and oppressive things. Because you can't help people the Lord's way as long as you are yoked to something else besides Him and His heart of love, joy, and peace and the kingdom of heaven. If you're yoked to anything else and unpliable in the hands of God, what does that mean? That means maybe today He says, I'll tell you a story. I was faithfully a churchgoer. I would go every night in this revival called the Brownsville Revival. And I went to church every Sunday whenever they had it. I went to the prayer meetings, to all the trainings, the leadership trainings, to the prayer meetings we had at the church when everybody could come. Well, one night, God said, please don't go to church. Just stay home and be with me. Nobody wants to stay at home, He said, and just have a date with me and sit quietly with me. They want to all go and work for me and praise me and worship me. But I want a companion that will just sit and be with me, and I can love on you through my word. So I found out that God was a lonely God. See, He's a very rich being. He has everything. And He does not know if you worship Him, believe in Him, praise Him, ask everything of Him, because He's rich. Pastor Deborah had to learn through a test what is most important to your own heart. And here's that story. One day I was out cutting my grass in my backyard, and I was praying to God, going in spirit to the throne room, bowing down to God, worshiping Him, giving Him honor and glory due to Him for all that He has done. Well, when I got there spiritually, He was not sitting on the throne. It was empty. That had never happened to Pastor Deborah before. I called His name out. Silence. There wasn't even any angels or host of heaven in the throne room. It was empty. I ran around the throne room looking behind the throne, behind the curtains of light, nowhere. My heart was saddened. That had never, ever happened, because I had been taught when we pray, He's always there, always hearing us, and that our prayers are always going up before Him. But He wasn't there. I didn't know what was wrong. I had never had that happen before. So I just keep cutting grass, And for 3 days, I kept going and praying and looking, going to the throne room, and he's not there. Seeking him and calling out to him. He's not there. He's silent. What was happening? God was testing me to see if I would come. Did I love him for just himself? I had to get to the point after 3 days, say, God, I don't care if you never bless me with anything. You never do another thing for me. I'm coming to heaven. I'll be there when I get there. I don't want anything from you. I got enough. I don't need the anointing. I don't need to be in a ministry helping people. I just want you. I want to be in your presence. That's all. I want nothing else from you. Nothing else mattered. Not his anointing, not a ministry, not helping people, nothing. And you will be tested, and your heart will be tried. So why do you pray to him? Did you even get saved because you wanted something? Or do you just want him for himself, not for anything he could give you? So he's like a rich man. He doesn't know, or rather he knows, but you must know within yourself, why do you worship him? What do you want from him? Why do you pray to him? Are you always seeking things from him? Are you always seeking his approval? Or can you just love him and ask nothing and want nothing from him? No blessings. And you just love him for him. A lot of times that's why we love animals. They love us just for us. They don't ask anything of us. That's a little babies. They just love us. And we love them just because they're babies. And that love is flowing back and forth. But something happens as the baby grows. They irritate us and that love wanes. And we just want them to obey and quit irritating us. Be quiet and leave us alone. And the baby's trying to get our attention because they're lonely. So they yell and they cry and they feel neglected. So they want our attention. Sometimes that's just exactly what we do to God. We want his attention. And he isn't paying attention to us because he doesn't answer our prayers. Or we want things our way, not his way. So in this story, eventually God, after 3 days, came back and he said, I had to test you. And I prayed, God, I don't want anything from you. Take all the anointing away, all the blessings, everything. I know by your word that I'll be in heaven, but I just want you. I want nothing from you but your love and to be with you. I'm not going to ask you for anything. So you will be tested. I had to be fasted even off of why and the ideas that I wanted to get saved. And why did I love him? And what were the purposes of my own prayers? You will go through that if you want to help people the Lord's way. Yeah, Pastor Deborah went through that. Wasn't an easy 3 days, that's for sure. So in your fasting, you have to discover what is a yoke of bondage to you and what do you need to be yoked to. We're told that Jesus wants to put his yoke of love, joy, and peace and walk with us. And he said his yoke is easy. It's not a burdensome yoke. We are connected. It's a soul tie. It's a bond to him. We walk with him, not with anybody else. We're pliable. Wherever he wants to go, we go. And as you know from my pew story, I never could sit back on that pew again on Sunday mornings. Now, it was the beginning of leaving that church. I didn't know that. But you have to be able to be free. If God wants to go this way, you need to be able to go with him without trying to go your own way in your own heart and mind. And you can't be led by denominations, political parties, what the past was with a nation, what you were, your own childhood experiences, what your parents taught you, what your ancestors taught you, what you think you should do. You can't be following that. You have to be fasted off of that. Then you have to learn about how do you pray to this God. Some people, as you know, they just repeat prayers. There's no conversation with him. Some people are talkative. That's Pastor Deborah. I have to learn how to be quiet. So to finish my story, one night the Lord said, could you just please stay at home with me and be with me? Because his children are busy serving him, working for him, going and praising him and worshiping him. You have to realize he has angels more than there are human beings. They praise him and worship him daily. He's got some creatures that are flying around his head all the time, saying, holy, holy, holy is the Lord. Holy, holy. He has a rainbow of sapphire shining out his glory. He knows he's holy. He knows he's worthy of praise and worship. He gets that all the time. He doesn't need us to also praise him. He knows he's good. What he wants is a relationship with us where he can bestow his love in us and on us, and we can give it back to him. Not for what he does, but just for who he is. So Pastor Deborah is very sensitive to his moods and his ways. Some mornings I would wake up and I'd sense he was sorrowful because so many of his children had turned from him. They were worshiping other things, following others besides him. They had defiled themselves, become yoked to other philosophies and other things. Broke his heart. He said he's locked out of many churches and families, and he's knocking at the door. They won't let him in. They've kicked out his Holy Spirit. He's not even welcomed. They don't teach his word about in the gospel message of Jesus Christ, that repent, turn your thinking, for the kingdom of heaven is here. They don't teach that. They teach everything but that. They keep telling us we're still a sinner and we're just saved by grace and holy, we'll finally get there out of this mess. They don't teach what a rebirth spirit is. In my story, it's called It's Time. You'll learn about the birth of Jan, the death of Jan, and the birth of Pastor Deborah. Excellent story. So in this story this night, God asked me to stay at home, have a date with him. Yeah. So I sat in a chair. I got my Bible and opened up Psalms. And I would just read slowly, hearing him talk to me. Then as in Psalms, David would talk back to him. And then he would talk to David. David would talk to him. He would talk to David. Through Psalms, you just go very slow. Then I'd close my eyes and I'd be in his presence. And I would just love on him and I would just be with him. No work, no ministry, no praising, no music, just quiet with him. A date night. Have you ever had a date night with God? Yeah, just the two of you. No sex. It's not about sex. It's much more intimate than that. It's being with someone. Yes, he is a someone that loves you and you love him, and you're just sitting together, not saying a word to each other. By reading Psalms, you learn about him through David. You learn how David talks to him. David was a mighty praise and worshiper. Spend a lot of time with God. God loved that. He said David had his own heart. He was a man after himself. You go after the heart of God, not what he has. And so if you are yoked by anything but him, you have to be fasted off of that. Yeah. Yep. So Pastor Deborah had to be fasted off. I had to be unyoked from people, places, rituals. Like some people can't get in the presence without music. Some people can't recognize in the stillness that he's there. or see him in trees and birds and talk to him. They're not there. The only way they can get there is if they hoop and holler and scream and yell, sort of like some of your shamans. And a lot of you know what I'm talking about. They will drink mixtures of flowers or medicine to go into a trance, allow a spirit to enter them so they can be in connection with them. Mm-hmm. A lot of people have been trying to make spiritual intimate connections with that world, those gods, to get information, get guidance, to know what their future's going to be, to get help, to even curse people. Yeah. So there's this intimacy. And when you are yoked and oppressed by others, other things, even an idea, God says you must be fasted off of that. And you, until you do that and he shows you and you get yoked to him with his yoke of love, joy, and peace, you cannot help others. And you can't undo their heavy burdens that they're carrying because they too are oppressed. But you can't even see that and help them until you recognize you are your little spirit. It can be yoked to your soul. And you need a Hebrews 4:12 experience. It's a spiritual circumcision of your soul, where the word of God, it's like a two-edged sword. One to cut, one to defend. Comes in, we see this in an example of circumcision in the Jewish, where they cut the little tip of a penis off to expose the head. It keeps infection. It was a sign and a seal showing us a spiritual thing that was to happen later. So you have to have that. Pastor Deborah did. What? You want to have one of those? Okay, well, let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we ask you right now, all that you have brought right here to the garden today, that you do a spiritual circumcision of their soul so their spirit can come out as you did in the ancient Jewish days. That you bring their little spirit out of their soul, the deep miry clay. Do a Hebrews 4:12 on them so they can be set free spiritually in the name of Christ Jesus. Okay. You will notice the difference even here in the garden. But when you get back in your body, you will feel different. You'll be able to hear him better, see things spiritually better. It'll take you a while because you still have some issues. All right. So we're sort of wrapping up verse 6 before we start verse 7. So you have to be set free, fasted off through prayer. That's what we just did. You even have to learn how to pray to God. It's just talking. But there are other things. You have to learn how to petition in a courtroom, how to lay your petitions before the Lord, understand how this prayer works with him, which is another whole lesson you have to learn, the proper words to use. You don't just repeat things. He doesn't care what your physical body's doing, okay? He's after your spirit. Because remember, we're learned later, this God is a spirit. And your spirit has nothing to do with your biological body. I'll tell you another story to help you how I learned that. I learned that after a night of doing deliverance, of casting out of spiritual devils out of wonderful Christian people. Of course, some people say Christians can't have them, but that's who we were doing, and that's what was coming out. So I helped this young girl. She was 16. I held her ponytail. She was puking some black stuff up in a can after we were saying, out in the name of Jesus. I think I was just saying the blood of Jesus. So I come home, and I fix a plate of food to eat. Must have been 11, 12 o'clock at night. And I look down at my plate, but I was looking at it from a distance, like I was above it. And I said, I don't eat that. And it was like something in my spirit told my spirit, because my spirit was trying to learn Was it the Holy Spirit talking? Probably was. He says, I don't eat earthly food like that down there. Now, can you imagine what, and I'm hearing this. In the mental health world, I would be called hearing voices, schizophrenic, broken from reality, needing some medication for sure. Yeah, psychotic. So I looked at television, and the same voice said, I don't watch television either. So that was the Holy Spirit speaking directly to me, the Spirit, telling me it doesn't eat earthly food and it doesn't watch television. And I learned a little bit that night that my spirit was so different on what it ate, what it did, than my biological body. So by having the Hebrews 4:12 experience, we're separating these two out. Now the spirit can freely learn from the spirit, learn from the words of spirit and life. Because we learn in, later on from Jesus, he says, God doesn't want you to go up to a mountain anymore, wonderful Samaritan woman, and worship at a tree, trying to find and worship God as your ancestors taught you. And he doesn't want you going to Jerusalem. You're not going to go there anymore, as the Jews do, to that building. You're not going to have to go to any earthly place, because God is a spirit, and he is looking, seeking for the spirit to worship him in spirit and in truth with knowledge. So that night after that deliverance session, my spirit was getting truth. My spirit does not eat earthly food. My spirit does not watch television. And when I was doing a deliverance work, casting out devils, spiritual things, my spirit and my words were doing spiritual things. So you have to learn. You have to be fasted off of things that are holding the spirit back, that keep it in bondage, that keep it yoked to things that it's not supposed to be yoked to. So once you, who want to help people, get free, then you can help, he says, unfree others who are oppressed and help them to spiritually go free. And so that every yoke that's in, that keeps you in bondage is broken. That is what his way of prayer and fasting is. He calls those bands of wickedness off of you. They must come off of you, and then you can help others to take them off of them. They are heavy burdens that have been laid to us. They're dragging us, carrying us. They keep us oppressed spiritually. So this is a spiritual work for the spirit, from the soul, from things of the earthly world. I had to learn that. And I had to go through these different tests and trials, have experiences as I'm reading through the words, as they're coming and I'm desiring to help people. But that is what verse 6 was teaching us. This was a review. I'm not going to go into verse 7 because we've been going a long time already. And you need time to just run around the garden, have field trips, go and visit. And God doesn't like to teach too long. So let's pray once again. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this review of verse 6. Of Isaiah 58, 1 through 14. From last one, we thank you for your continued teaching, helping Pastor Deborah to tell her many stories that you have put her through, her test, her trials of being unyoked from bands of wickedness, from others and places and things, and telling her others how she had been spiritually oppressed by a pew, by the anointing, by blessings, and how that your desire was to break every yoke off of Pastor Deborah and all these here, so they are free unto you and you alone, and that they walk with you in a bond of love no matter where you decide to take us. Even as those three guys went into that furnace, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they said, "We will not bow and declare that you, O Nebuchadnezzar, are God and Lord to us. We won't do it. We'll work for you, but we will not declare you that. You are not our God that we serve, and we will go to the furnace. And we know our God could save us, and even if he doesn't, we will not bow." Some of us have to go through those kinds of tests. Many of our ancient relatives were burned at stakes, killed. They never wavered, never. Some of us have to go there. Some of us are in total obedience to God when we do that. And through our death, that seed that falls down to the ground. I'll tell you a great story. It's on the website. It's about a man who was called of God to go into a town where there was a lot of ISIS people and preach the word. Took his family. One night, ISIS guys came in, had their hoods on, their guns, took them, killed them all. But he went there. He knew that was going to happen. Well, another man gets called. It's on the website under testimonies. About 900 ISIS people getting saved. So another man gets called and his family to go to the same house, the same church, and the same town. He knew what happened to the other one, but they went. And guess what? A guy came in the middle of the night and captured the pastor. Hooded, put a hood on him and said, "Come." Took him to a building, unhooded him. There was 900 Muslims. And they said, "Sir, we killed the other pastor that was here. And all of us in one night had a dream that we were held responsible. And we were guilty of killing him. And we can't lift this off of this burden, this band of wickedness, this yoke off. Only you can help us. Please help us." And he told them about the love of God to lift the band of wickedness and oppression and this yoke of bondage off of them. And 900 people believed in Jesus Christ and the Father in one night due to two people's dedication to the work of the kingdom. Sometimes you're called to be the seed that drops to the ground and die, and others are called to come behind you and get people saved, because the word tells us that when a seed remains alone, it cannot help. So this seed, this family, dropped down into the ground to die. But through their death, God used it to save 900 people. So when yokes of wickedness are broken off of you like those 900 Muslims, God is happy. Yes, it takes dedication, but you can't go and do that unless you're free of your fear of what will people think of you. Afraid of death. All that has to be broken up. Pastor Deborah's been in some death situations, looking at heart transplants. Had guns pointed at her, knives pointed at her, scissors coming down in her own living room, poisoned. Having to trust God every step of the way, while people were watching me to see if I would die, trying to get rid of me. And was I angry? Could I love them even through that? One story goes, I was poisoned. They were trying to torture me and vex me. And the people that ordered it, the guys that some of my spiritual children in multi-generational Satanists wanted to go kill them. And I had to tell them in the spirit, no, you go love them like I loved you into the kingdom. Pastor Deborah's tough. She can take a lot of pain. And I'll use that pain and every incident to get people saved. I had to be loose, though. From the pew, loosed from wanting anything from God except his love and for his heart's desires. Of Isaiah 61 and 62 to be fulfilled, I had to have those foundational scriptures. But here we're learning that God is talking to the Israelites. You are not doing prayer correctly. You're not praying for the right things. You're not praying the way I need you, and you are not fasting what needs to be fasted off. That is a shocker when that comes. Yep, Pastor Deborah's got that. He wants you pliable in his hands. He wants you with him. And if he decides to tell you to stay at home and have a date, yes, sir, I love you. And you won't feel guilty for not going to church or to the mosque or to Ramadan or to this or to that. If he tells you don't go tonight, just be with me, then you're okay. Then you are fasted off of rituals, ideas, ancestors, denominations, what everybody else is doing, what the world is doing. You're not following the herd and the world. You're not connected to any spiritual evil, wickedness, things, or ideas. And you've had your Hebrews 4:12. So enjoy. And we'll pick up in lesson number 10 of this one. We'll start with verse 7. But this was a review, just so you'll know. All right, let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time, that you will take all these wonderful spirits, love on them, hug them, talk to them more here in the garden. And when they get back in their bodies, let them know and let them experience the Hebrews 4:12. Be with them, get them home safely. Continue to help them to grow and learn in your word, in the kingdom of heaven, that they are kings and they are in learning and to love you no matter what. In the name of Christ Jesus, amen. All right, see you next lesson in prayer and fasting, the school of light. You come back. Enjoy your day. Bye. Thank you for listening and watching this video. It is an honor and a pleasure to have you stopped by today and watch. This is Pastor Deborah, and I hope you come again and watch many, many more videos and learn and grow spiritually and hear how she has helped people spiritually, the Lord's way, for many, many years. Come again, watch another one, and we welcome you to be a subscriber to the channel, to make comments, and if you wish to contact Pastor Deborah, please email her at her email address for the ministry at PastorDeborah@agapeloveishere.org. You can also see these videos on Twitter and on the website in the many different sections that they are put into. Enjoy, and it was once again an honor to have you watch and listen. Thank you, and come again to another video of Agape Love, Love is Here Ministries, a ministry of helping people the Lord's way that Pastor Deborah has been doing for many, many years. Love always and forever, Pastor Deborah.